Blog Talk Radio.
I've read all your books and I listen to your recordings pretty much on a daily basis. And I don't say that to build up an ego that doesn't exist. It leads into my question. What I find in trying to practice the power of now, trying to be conscious without thought, is a very heavy inner dialogue of all the principles and things that I've read, like, how should I do this? What would Eckhart say? And actually, my thought process starts getting more active, and I think I'm losing the presence by that thought process. And then I think of your latest book with the cartoons, which I love, which I think there's one with a little bird in the tree. He's talking to the dog, and he's very upset. And the dog says, "What's wrong?" And the bird says, "Well, you know, I'm thinking about yesterday and this and that, and I'm worried about what's going to happen in a week, 2 weeks, about the future. What do I do? What do I do?" And the dog just looks at him and says, "Stop thinking." So how do I... You know, it seems you try to stop thinking, but and you read all this and you try to practice it, but yet in any given situation, I find that in order to get closer to practicing it or even practice it, it's causing a lot of thoughts to happen. So is that different kind of thoughts, or those thoughts that I should break that kind of habit? And if so, how?
Okay. Thank you. Now, there's a lot of talk these days about, not just talk, actually it's happening, addictions. Many people are addicted to all kinds of things, substances. But one of the greatest addictions, you never read about it in the papers, because the people who are addicted to it don't know it. It's the addiction to thinking. It's actually addictive. Can't stop thinking. It's like can't stop drinking, can't stop smoking, can't stop eating, can't stop thinking. Thinking is the greater addiction than any of these. And it's an addiction because it's been a drug, it's been around for so long, and it's a pseudo sense of self. So it's a great reluctance on the part of most people to let go of thinking, because which is equated with the state of sleep, to let go of thinking. There isn't that much to understand in this teaching. There's a little bit to understand about how the ego works, but even that is just mainly a self-observation. The main thing about it is presence. And presence is a space of no thought, but presence can also be there in the background even when thinking is happening. You can still be not completely involved in the thinking. Thinking loses the ability to create havoc in your life and confuse you. So your choice then is not to understand more, or to bring some intellectual analysis to the practice, but to practice the state of not thinking, which can be arrived at by various ways, as you probably know. If you don't think about it, just do it. Becoming more aware of the present moment and accept it as it is slows down the overactive mind is one thing. Because a lot of the overactivity of the mind is an attempt to get away from the isness, the simplicity of the present moment. So to become more aware of the present moment as a practice, have perhaps little pointers in your office, at home, in your car, let's say present moment or whatever, or a symbol for it. And there are different entry points into the present moment. Present moment awareness means thinking subsides, may not disappear completely, but something else arises that is primary. We call it presence or awareness. Buddhists call it mindfulness, which I don't use because it implies your mind is full of things, but it isn't, of course. It's just a mistranslation. So to be present, first of all, use the present moment to become... But how do you become conscious of the present moment? Now, when you get it, after a while, you can actually sense the presence of the present, so to speak, directly, and there it is. But helpful things are sense perceptions, take you out of thinking. If you're not judging the sense perceptions, labeling, naming, looking around, anywhere, wherever you are, look around. Practice sense perceptions without this compulsive interference of naming what you're perceiving. Oh, that's a beautiful flower. I wonder what it's called. I don't know what it's called. Oh, that helps. I can be free of thinking. If I know what it's called, I can say, oh, that's such and such, and then drop that. And see what it means to perceive without the interference of concepts, words. At this moment, for example, you're looking at me. Now, let's say between now and now, were you thinking? No. Okay. And again, between now and now, were you thinking or present? No thought. And while I speak, do you need to think to understand what I'm saying, or can you just listen and understand it? And this is what you're doing. And so that's part of the teaching and the function of the spiritual teacher. Imparting information is secondary. What I'm telling you now is secondary. What is primary is the underlying state of consciousness, which is presence. That's the teaching. But you can't talk about that. It's underlying. But a sign that it's working is that while you listen, there's no thought. There's just an alert presence. And when the so-called teacher stops speaking for a moment, the alert presence remains. It does not need to be filled with anything. Like now. What is there to think about? Nothing. Now, if we do this for longer, at some point, your mind will probably start up and think, how much longer is he going to sit there? And when that happens, you can allow your mind to say, how much longer is he going to sit there and say nothing, and then come back to presence. And then some other thought will come. What's this all about? And then you can allow that thought to arise and then be present again. Which means you're not really, your priority is no longer to follow the thought where it wants to take you. Because the thought has a magnetic pull. It wants more of your consciousness, but it wants to grow because it's a little entity. It wants to grow, so it wants your attention. And in subtle ways, it tries to get your attention. It says, it might even use a bodily feeling. It says, gosh, I'm hungry suddenly. Why didn't I need to eat something? And then you think of what restaurant am I going to afterwards? And so the presence is gone. You are gone. You are looking for a restaurant in your mind. Which means the thought used as some bodily thing to make thoughts out of it, completely pointless, because you can't find a restaurant because you're standing here. But it can use all kinds of things to manufacture most, to get your attention. And if you're not careful, if you don't know the mechanism, it's not so much an intellectual understanding, but a simple realization that this is what the mind does. It tries to pull you in. It's fine, that's what it does. Once you know that, you can allow a thought to arise without following it where it wants you to go, which is into another bigger thought and a bigger one. So then you become like my dog when it finds a scent. And then suddenly, even the dog, when the dog is off leash, usually she's fine, she just runs around you, but suddenly she picks up a scent and then she goes off completely unaware of surroundings or anything. She just follows it. And she could get lost. She goes off to the horizon sometimes, just disappears. And that's when you follow a thought, it goes like that. You can wake up 20 minutes later. And it started with being a little bit hungry and thinking of a restaurant, and it ends up with thinking about how dreadful your life is.
Protect your temple with the Solomon's Temple.
Peace. What's going on, God?
What's going on?
Yeah? Not much, man. How's everything going?
Yeah, everything's been peace.
Everything. How was your Thanksgiving? You made some turkey?
Nah. You know, I use this time to fast. See, I'm fasting right now.
You're fasting, yeah.
Well,
okay.
I'm a fast.
Yo, what you think about what he was just saying? That was Eckhart Tolle talking about being present and get rid of thoughts. And, you know, I agree with him a lot with that. You know, people try to think their way through their problems. And every time the more they think, it's like quicksand. The more you try to think your way through it, you're going to sink even more. And people say, well, I need to think through it. I got to figure this out. But I've learned that the less trying to figure it out, the easier it was to fix it. You know, I found a faster solution to the problem when I just sat back, relaxed, and said, hey, it's going to be all right. It'll get taken care of. When I need the information, it'll come to me and I'll fix it.
That's
right. In the right time, in the right moment. But that is a very hard concept to teach people or show them. You know, just
it'd be their biggest
struggle
problem
with the thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
It is. It's their biggest problem, man. I just watch people. Is there something going on right now? Because people are coming at me with all of their issues, whether it be relationships, legal problems. They just come in with major issues. I talked to someone yesterday who was having a relationship problem. The husband wants to divorce her, and she's upset because she wants to stay with him. But then on the other hand, she said he was caught sleeping with a man, but she wanted to stay with him.
Oh, hell no.
You see what I'm saying? Did you see the insanity? You know, the insanity there? And you can't tell them nothing. You can't really, in the moment where they're caught up in their feelings and their thoughts, there's nothing you can say to them to help them get a better outlook on what they're thinking.
Now, a brother get caught with a girl, she's been gone.
I don't think this is a brother. It's just a sister married to some dude from Turkey. It wasn't a brother. And so.
You know what I mean. You know, a brother.
I know what you mean.
Married to a brother. It is a trip, man. Really a trip. Because, dang, it is funny how the matrix show up. You have people that be dedicated, but they show you at the end of the day, is the common denominator is it's a life lesson.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lesson because, you know, you change the scenario, she would have been ready to leave them.
I think, I'm going to tell you what I really think it is. I think women can't accept when a man leaves, but it's okay when they leave.
Right.
I think that's the case, because I was seeing somebody and I left, and they still talk about it to this day. And as you said, a man shouldn't leave a woman. I said, y'all leave men all the time. Like, what were you talking about? Where you get this rule from where a man ain't supposed to leave? I said, tell you what, if a man is leaving, there's definitely a problem. Because I'm going to tell you, men don't leave regular pussy. They don't just leave it. They're like, hey, they what? You know what I'm saying? They ain't going to just leave like that. That's a strong move for a man to make. You're like, yeah, I'm gonna leave. I'm gonna be by myself. I ain't gonna be able to get none. That's how we think, you know.
Yeah, women don't take rejection well.
No,
yeah, they don't take. Man, I'm like, dang.
I'm like, yeah, I love like, your shoe.
Turn down some booty. You gonna see the ugly side of a woman. You can't not wanting to sleep with them. They'll do it. They'll say anything about you. Boom.
Yeah. I'm inclined to agree on that.
Like you cheating on me. You know, it's something. you cheating on me. You know, that mean they get mad. But then if they're in the mood where they don't want to, you can't say nothing.
Oh, you gotta accept that. You ain't allowed to not say no. And if you do turn it down, best believe that they're gonna try to get revenge. When you ready, they're gonna be like, no. This is send a message.
Like what you talking about? I like that you're talking about meditation. I like that you're talking about meditation today. That is
right.
A direct doorway to solving everything. But the problem is there's a difference between thinking and meditating. It's a difference.
Yes.
That you bringing that difference out, you know? Because some people sit around and they're not really thinking. They call it thinking. I call it worrying.
Yeah, that's the doing. Worry.
Few people think.
Yeah, I'm,
and really, that word needs to be taken out. Because little people think. It's very few people that think. It's a lot of people that worry. But thinking is a process. It's a completely different wavelength. Because when you meditate, your infinite speaks to you. The God that's within speaks. The problem is, I don't agree with, you know, some people try not to allow that voice to come. Now, there's ways to limit that. Number one, you got to watch who you're around.
Oh, yeah.
If you're around negative people, you're going to catch negative thought forms. Thought forms are always around us, as well as spirits that don't serve us are high good. So, if you keep the right people around you, you're going to have similar thought forms around you. Beneficial spirits instead of malicious spirits around you. So that's important because you can meditate and get negative information, negative thought forms, and that can cloud what you need to do. Then once you got your area, you know, you definitely want to make sure that your area is clean. You know, the good thing is everybody talking about sage and cleaning and smudging the area. This also limits negative thought forms. Now, when you have all this established, then what you're getting is good. What we're going to do with this, what we get. So now is the real step is to execute the plan. A lot of people getting these, the ancestors speaking to them, they dreams, their spirits, it's coming to them, but there is no action with it. And so that can also cause anxiety. Your ancestors keep coming back to you, but you ain't doing nothing about it.
I think that's the thing. I think everybody get it. They don't do nothing. In action. In action. They don't want to take any move. I don't know, maybe it's laziness or just
not do it
in a way. Huh?
Doing that. Yes.
I didn't hear that last part.
Laziness. But I was listening to that young brother that they killed Nipsey, right? And this thing is a marathon. Amen.
You're breaking up a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it might be the area I'm in. He said that this is America. I love when he said that. You know, mm-hmm. A lot of people marathon.
Yeah, you're still breaking up.
Wait. Is that better?
Now it is, yeah, because I didn't hear anything you said.
Yeah, it's about the marathon.
Okay.
Yeah. This ain't fun. This ain't no short race.
Right. No, it's not. Exactly. Everybody wanted to be short. They want to jump from to success instantly.
That's right. They wanted it all yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And see, I like listening to Air Control. He a pretty good lecture. I mean, you know.
Yeah. He is.
That, you know, because the way I look at it now is what can you do today? That's how I see it. Like, you know, My way of looking at it now is, hey, what can I do for this day? Today.
Mm-hmm.
I can do today. I do today. Now, then tomorrow, I do everything I can do for tomorrow. They're not, you know, like I was saying, like the brother Nipsey, right? He was saying it's a marathon. Gave up. I love the way he put that. And yesterday, and the ones that give up only wanted it, you got somebody that might work hard for a year, but they only want it for 1 year. But they really want it. If you ain't going to do nothing, embrace that you ain't going to do nothing.
Right.
These thought forms, you know, your ancestors are speaking to you because you know what I'm saying? And it just comes into worrying. It's the time of the year. This is a good time. See, during the fall and the winter months is the time for planning. Spirit, because you inside more. You see? So you're supposed to do more meditation anyway. The winter and the fall months. You're supposed to act and plan. Purpose. You know? You used to say, go into a cage. The bears hibernate in parts of the world where, you know, where the animals hibernate, right? What are you doing during this time? That's why I always fast during this time of the year. The universe can orchestrate what my next steps are going to be. Execute. If you can do that, your chart will unfold in front of you. Like people come to me when I do their readings, sometimes they come to me with their dreams. Sometimes I have to interpret the dreams. That's your higher self, the God.
Hello? You there?
Yeah.
You going? I mean, it's really bad because you said hi yourself to God, then it went silent.
Is that better?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Can't hear you now. I heard you when you said that, but I can't hear nothing now.
Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. Yeah, my bad. I'm in the country, and I'm riding back into town. You know, it's just a bad area. My bad. But I can hear you, and then, you know, but in a,
yeah, it's chopping you off when you get ready to make your points.
Hey, mate, you know, in a couple more years, we ain't got to worry about that because this area, they gonna chop this area up too. I can already see it as I ride down these streets, you know. So the trees gonna be gone in this area soon, you know.
Yeah.
Did you go in there? Did you be around your family over the Thanksgiving break?
No, I just chilled out pretty much. Somebody invited us over to dinner. Me and my daughter, we went there, and that was it. Came back home.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't. I wasn't really celebrating, you know, Thanksgiving and stuff like that.
Yeah. You see,
that was it.
You know, but see, most of these holidays, they might tell you it's this, but a lot of them are based off energies. But then we call it a holiday. These be pivotal times. You know, it'd be a lot of cosmic things going on during this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You see. And so, like, you know, doing thankfulness is an important point because it's the beginning point of new energy. You know, you really get prepared for the next cycle for 2020. But, you know, we hear these stories, but if you really look at the energies and the times when the energies manifest, you'll realize that it's just like with, I mean, we all know how Christmas is. You know, we know that that's when the sun goes down and the renewal of the energy, the winter solstice, which...
Mm-hmm.
is important for Christians, but they call it the Santa Claus. So we know that that's a mythology in itself. Well, it's the same for Thanksgiving. You see, it's on a one vibration. It's a new beginning. So, you know, you have to. You're getting prepared for the 2020 energy. So it's always good to fast during these national holidays. Look a little closer into them because they much more deeper than just, you know, sometimes I be wondering if any of the things that they telling us while we celebrate is actually true. You know, I never took the time to look it up from a historical standpoint, but I do understand the energy that's around.
Mm-hmm.
So, good to fast on this time. So, you know, you will get mind blowing channels. You won't be able to keep up with all that needs to be done. You see,
right
now, I'm doing a good. I'm gonna fast for the Thursday, and my thoughts are so much kingdom. You know, real think, you know. How often do you fast a year?
Once. I need to do it more. You know, get a real, it's time for me to do, I'm going to do my fast before the new year. Like, you know, when my daughter get out of school. So that all the way into the new year, I'm going to do my fast. So that'll start next week or so.
Yeah. And just when you fast, make sure you're doing warm foods.
Mm-hmm. You mean by warm foods? What do you mean?
See, it's the wintertime. And if, and it's, you know, it's a cooler time period. So if you want to make sure that you, like, okay, like, let's say if you do a liquid fast, make sure you drink in
warm water. Okay.
Yeah.
Like room temperature.
Warm teas to keep the heat in your body. You know. You could do soup. Soup is really good. I usually do more soup and tea fast during the cooler months because you got to maintain heat in your body. Sometimes we forget when we think about eating only fruits and vegetables. So we think about what people, that's what, that would work in a tropical area. It wouldn't work in this environment where it's cooler. You see? You're going to need, it's a reason for the change of seasons. And you have to fast according to the change of the season. So the energies that be lined up. And, you know, if not, you're going to be freezing. And another thing, like with my fast, when I fast, you know, your body gonna go through changes when you fast. So I try to do things to lessen the undesirable parts. So you also wanna make sure that you're doing some good cleansing because sometimes you can become more constipated when you fast.
Yeah, I got something for that.
Huh?
I got the Supreme Cleanse for that.
Yeah. You see, your body can go through, you know, what they call auto-intoxication because it can send the toxins back through your body because it's trying to reserve what you got in you and then start eating on itself, which can cause toxins to go back through your body. That's why you want to make sure that you also cleanse it when you fast. Because you can go through periods of constipation, and you know, because you can be dehydrated as well, so you have to keep plenty of water in your body. Because you know, listen, you know, the spirit's gonna speak to you so much. And so it's good to have dark clothes on and have grounding crystals around you, you know, crystals that ground your energy, especially if you're a sensitive person. You know, you can pick up on other people's energies while you fast. You know what I'm saying? So you don't want to make sure that it's not your energy that you're feeling. That's another reason why you should always try to make sure that the people that surround you and it's not, you know, it is positive people. Because you're gonna get your share of negativity. But it shouldn't be negativity that you invite into your life. You know?
Right.
And so, like, I think about what you were saying earlier about, you know, bad relationships. I can't invite that around me. It ain't worth it. It's not worth the stress that comes with that. You know? The stress that come with it, I ain't going to invite that into my life. Now, family is one thing, but relationships is another. You have options with relationships, but you don't got no options in
With
your family. ain't gonna be trying to work something out with you, you know, and you ain't mean me no good.
Right.
They just part. You know, so what I can control in my life, I'm going to control. I can't control my blood.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had to cut somebody off yesterday because they was upset because I told them they were, kept talking about their problems with their brother and they lent them money. And I was like, man, you talk about that all the time. I said, you got to chalk that up as a loss. And you keep talking negative about everything that you're dealing with. You know, he's into all of these government conspiracies.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I know the government do some stuff, but I'm not going to sit here and talk about it every day. And chance I get. Because all I'm doing is inviting that negativity in my life. And
that's
I
right.
tried to tell him that, and he said I was a devil because I told him he needed to, you know, he needed to take responsibility for the money he lent his brother. He knew he wasn't getting that back when he gave it to him. Take responsibility. Oh, you a devil. I'm like, I cut him off right there on the spot. Cut him off and say, you know what? For you to say that to me, that means you looking at me sideways. You got some something else going
that's
on
right.
with you. You know, for you to just say what you said. You didn't say, I don't agree with you. You said I was a devil. So that means that's how you view me. Or you have some underlying contempt for me. To open your mouth
that's
and say
right.
that. I dismissed mm-hmm. that quickly. Dismissed it. Told him, hey, and put a block on his number. Can't call me no more.
Hey, too old for that shit. You too old
right.
for it.
You know, I'm telling you to get over it, and you calling me a devil because I'm telling you to get over it? Like, man,
you're not grown.
Get over
a person's
it.
Not grown
get
until they can do that.
Right. Let it go, man. And I don't want to hear it. I mean, I'm sympathetic, but at the same time, I don't want your problems getting in my head. Because that's going to bring me problems. There's a reason why a lot of people have problems. They may not be the person, like, drumming up problems for themselves, but they're hanging out with people that drum up problems. And
mm-hmm.
they're not checking them for the drama that they're bringing. And guess what? All of a sudden, they got trouble in their house.
That's right.
Because that energy, that entity that's connected to that person is following your ass home, causing problems in your house.
That's right.
He apologized through text message, and I still ain't respond to him. Because that's a strong word to call me a devil. You know, I think better of myself. You're not going to call me that. And I'm going to keep talking to you. You know?
Yeah, but
that wasn't
but
even necessary.
I can accept your apology, but that don't mean I'm a fool with you like that.
Right. You see, I look deeper into that.
And I understand. Yeah. It is more to the story than you saying it. Because somebody say,
right.
yeah, you know, somebody call you a devil. I mean, it's more to, I know it's more to it than that. It, you know,
right.
So I understand.
Right.
But you got to
right.
know. You got to know when something ain't working. And that was just more confirmation because, yeah, man, that's stuff kids do. Kids do that.
Right.
At this stage in your life, you ain't got to do that. And, you know, and it's even worse when you got to do it to make a living. When you have to take certain mess. And,
I think that's
you know,
what I do.
It ain't enough money that's I ain't going to, and see, all money ain't good money. You know?
Right about that.
So I'd rather cut that off for that purpose too because the toll that it put on your body is not worth it.
I wasn't making no money off with that brother like that. We were supposed to do some business together, but I've been a couple of weeks up with Sandy. negative, always going to talk about problems. When he says that, he confirmed it in my mind that I need to cut it off.
You know, they say Carnegie, that was the most important part that Andrew Carnegie had, according to Thinking and Rich. He would cut somebody off if they affected the mastermind, even if they had more talent than anybody.
Right. Because that talent don't mean anything.
Because if it ain't harmonious, if it's not a harmonious relationship, it's gonna be canceled later. It's best to cut it off. Even if you felt that way in private and he ain't say nothing to you out the way. And you just felt that way in private.
Well, I did feel that way in private. So you hit it on the head. When he said that, he just confirmed it.
Mm-hmm.
There's always negative talk about what the government doing. Like, I give you an example. I gave him something to help him, for him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls me back a couple of hours later. Hey, you know, they got things in the ink that make you put you in their jurisdiction. What do you think about that? And it was in that moment I said, this guy's never going to do anything. He's wasting my time. Like, mm-hmm. You're trying to find a reason why not to do something. Now you're talking about the ink. I said, listen, we're in the Matrix right now.
Everything he's doing is
really for the benefit of the Matrix.
That's right.
Let's be real.
That's
the Matrix needs conflict for it to exist. It needs opposers. This system is designed for good guy, bad guy.
That's right.
So what I do to help people is part of the program.
I'm well aware of that I serve a function.
Because if I wasn't part of the program, I would not be able to flourish in what I do.
And then the exchange of money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as you're using this money system, you are part of it. As long as you use any form of money.
Yes. I told somebody that today, too. They were talking about they don't want to be in part of the In God We Trust, and they were trying to do something, and they were trying to put this in this paperwork. I said, listen, that's inconsequential what you're talking about, because every time you exchange a dollar, you're using the In God We Trust. Isn't that on the dollar bill?
That's right.
Doesn't it say In God We Trust on the dollar bill? So you're using it. I said, but you ain't going to give that up, are you? Huh?
Right.
Because you need it. You got to go pay some bills with it. Okay. So only way you're going to get completely out of this thing, you go find you a place in the woods, pull up camp, and grow your food out the ground, and don't touch none of this stuff out there. Nothing.
That's right. No electricity.
No electronics.
No
nothing.
No cell phone.
No nothing. You willing to do that?
Yeah.
No, you're not. So stop.
I've lived like that before. Mm-hmm. I've lived in the and I promise you, there's disadvantages in everything.
Yes.
It ain't no such thing as a utopian society. It don't exist.
Mm-mm. You know, because what you going to do when it get cold outside? And even if you live in a place where it's warm all the time, there's disadvantages to that. You got to deal with the damn wildlife out there.
That's right.
Look in the sea. You got to deal with the bugs. You know,
and so, like, you be around the so-called conscious people, and within you be around them long enough, you realize, nah, I couldn't be in no society with y'all. They don't get on my nerves, you know.
That's what I'm talking about. I call it the unconscious conscious community. That's what I call it. Because they swear they're conscious. But when you really strip them down, they just like the two people in the church.
Just like them.
Just on a different information.
Ain't nobody trying to argue and debate with you.
I actually, you know what, tell you the truth, I go food with the church folks, or food with some of these conscious folks.
I will too.
Guess what they're going to want to talk about? Yo, did you see that game? We can have some fun.
That's right.
But with these conscious people, they want to talk about all of these processes with the government doing all the time. I'd be like, dude, I don't want to talk about that all the time.
It stressed me out.
What the government is doing. You know, you give me all this negative stuff, what they're doing with the Wi-Fi and what they're doing with the food and the sex trafficking. You give me all this negative imaging in my mind. I don't want to talk about that or dwell on that. Let me dwell on what's good.
I'm going to tell you
what I'm good today.
You know something?
Yeah.
I used to do that same bullshit. I'm not going to lie.
Me too.
I used to be like that. God, I hate that.
I was like that. I always would.
I used to. Like, if you look at me 2020 Thanksgivings ago, maybe 15 Thanksgivings ago, I'd say 15 years ago, right? I was still doing that shit. Everybody trying to eat, and I'm ruining the good time. You know? We watching the game, and I'm talking about this slavery. Now, I used to be like that. Now people can, we can be together, and I ain't say shit. ain't get no history lessons. So
at
I know
the end
I was,
of the day, they don't want to hear. They don't care.
And
if they don't care, then guess what? You should care. You know what I'm saying?
I can terrorize some niggas too now. I can't be like, I like this shit. Damn.
But
so what I did.
It levels to your consciousness. Your consciousness elevated, and you realize that the real lesson is for you. This knowledge is for you to build yourself up. It's not for
right.
you to go remove a straw out of their eye when you got a raptor in yours. It's for you. You're not trying to save nobody. Guess who you're trying to save? You. In the work that you're doing, you're trying to save yourself. And they benefit from what you're doing. But your real job is to save yourself.
Right.
I tell them all the way. I said, listen, I ain't trying to save none of y'all. I learned good from with the Bible. I said, Moses tried to save people, and guess what happened? He couldn't even go into the promised land.
That's right.
Jesus tried to save people, or Yahshua tried to save people. They hung his ass on the cross.
That's right.
So I said, listen, what y'all take from the Bible, I take a different perception. Everybody that tried to save somebody in that Bible ended up dead.
That's
Steve
right.
Stephen got stoned to death. You know what I'm saying? So I said, listen, with that lesson is telling you people don't want to hear your truth or what you call is truth. They don't care.
Right.
Now, I'm going to keep talking about these things on my forum, and if you want to come listen to me talk about these things, now you're coming on your own accord. I'm not forcing you. But if we had a Thanksgiving dinner or we had a party at a game, listen, we're going to enjoy that goddamn game.
That's right.
I'm not giving y'all history lessons at the game. You know, we're gonna talk about pussy. We might even talk about some weed. I don't smoke it. We're gonna talk about all kinds of stuff. But see, that's the other lesson. Jesus went and hung out with all of the prostitutes and the drug dealers and the
that's
tax
right.
collectors and all of that stuff. And what you think he talked about preaching to them? No. He probably
mm-hmm.
talked to them about, yo, let me get some of that, let me get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they think Jesus was just this dude that, you know, walked around with his whole hand folded his hands and he was all upright. No, he wasn't. He had to be a gangster because he went into the daggone temple and whipped the people in the temple who was trying to sell stuff.
That's right.
In the temple. So that's a gangster move.
Right.
Come on. Ain't nobody came at him over that. Come on, man. You talking about a gangster. A G. They got this picture of Jesus as this old saintly individual. He was far from a saint, like they're trying to get.
That's right.
So, what is Peter, you know he has another name, doing with a sword? Y'all supposed to be preaching the gospel, but you got a sword, they come out to get Jesus. First thing you do is cutting the ear off.
Mm-hmm.
You don't that sound like something that happened in the hood?
That's right.
We ain't taking my boy.
and show it up for him.
Right. Right. So I'm saying we have to look at for what it really is. Those are the regular brothers doing similar to what I'm doing right now, holding seminars, going from place to place, teaching people. There's nothing different now than it was then.
Same
Negroes. It's the same place. They just romanticized this story, embellished a little bit. And then they put the white face on.
Right.
You know? Shoot. 2,000 years from now, they're going to be talking about me. They're going to change my name to probably Aaron or something. Till they gonna change my
right.
color. They might make a stand out
right.
of me. Who knows?
That's right.
Little do they won't even know. Y'all be like pussy. He gonna try to get as much as he can before you go. They ain't gonna tell that story. They don't want to hear that Jesus was getting pussy back then, or Joshua. They don't want to hear that.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
It's written right there in their face. All them hoes was coming up to him. Washing
That's
they,
right.
Taking their hand, washing their feet with their hair. Come on, bro. Come on, bro.
You know, because I ain't find no translation to explain that one.
Right, dude. Come on. And you know he slipped out after that meeting with the scribes and Pharisees. He probably gave her a little wink. I see you outside.
And you know if somebody had touched your foot, then their head can't be too far from your feet.
Dude, that's an intimate part of your body.
Mm-hmm.
They put expensive oil on them. Come on, Jesus, fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, I know you in town. Come on, see.
Yeah.
I know some Christians listening, boy, they'd be upset right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, but the energy,
huh?
But you know, and I know you having fun, but then. A brother would beat you down, be like, well, that's the Pisces energy. We know that, nigga. you know what that is. You know the Pisces going in the foot. That's the Pisces energy. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
right.
But somebody would turn that into an argument.
Right.
You see.
But, you know, what we have to realize, all of these stories have more than one story.
That's right.
It has a physical story, and it has a metaphysical story, esoterical story. You see?
That's right.
Really what we're dealing with. They all have most of the understanding, and what the trick is this, what people don't realize, this is why people don't graduate from their religious orders, conscious communities, whatever you want to call them, is because they don't realize there's a multiple dimensions we're dealing with, and there's multiple consciousnesses we're dealing with. So I could, this one story, on a different conscious level, I'm going to see something different. See, if I'm in a traditional conscious level of the Christian mentality, I'm going to only see the physical part of it.
Right.
You know, she died for my sins. But as I raise my consciousness, wait a minute. This story means that I'm going to have to die out of all of these negative thoughts that I'm having and raise my consciousness above
right.
looking at people's sins and worrying about what they do.
Right.
That I'm going to have to go through a spiritual or a spiritual death per se to become new, meaning new in thinking, new in consciousness, and realize that all of this stuff that I was worried about before is a bunch of bullshit. When you want to shake it all down, it don't mean nothing in the grand scheme of my existence.
Right.
Because at the end of the day, we all just one speck of water in a bigger ocean of life.
That's right. That's true.
That's it. I'm just making a little ripple in this little portion of the river. There's more information I got to get, more things I need to learn, and I'm going to go to another level of consciousness. And then I'm going to look back at this consciousness and realize in this, that didn't mean a whole lot. Because really what I'm trying to attain is nothing. That's the message is right there. I'm trying to attain absolutely nothing. When you have nothing to attain, that means you have reached perfection. You have reached total nirvana.
Right. That's the top level right there.
Right. You see what I'm saying?
Ascension. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because there's nothing to prove. There's nothing to say. There's nothing to think.
Mm-hmm.
You are just one with the source.
Mm-hmm. And see that? That's
you see that to a large audience.
Mm-hmm. Wait, say that word again.
That's it. I forgot I lost the word. I think I said level. You just try to level up to nothing.
Right. Yeah.
You look back, I did that already. I did that. I know it. I did that. Okay, that's nothing new.
You say level up to nothing.
Right, that's all you're trying to do. That's the truth. That came to me. He said, you know what, all the stuff you're doing, you just trying to love, just get to nothing. Well, let's think about that. When you get something that you really want and you have it, you realize, okay, what do I do now? Then you move on to something else. You get that.
That's
you move
not
on
like-
to something else.
That's what I like about
it. It never satisfies you. Huh?
Yeah. It's deep.
But only time you really satisfied is when you meditate, you end your meditation, and you realize, I don't have to think about nothing. I don't have to do nothing.
That's right.
I just have to be present, observing, and not have an opinion about nothing.
It don't matter.
Right.
You know?
Right. People believe you read that book, Buddha. The book, Buddha, by, what's his name? Well, that guy who interviewed Michael Jackson. He was a big time back in the day. You don't hear much from him now. But it's Buddha, the story of Buddha. That's, you know, he was trying to get this attention. He's looking, constantly searching, and then he meditated. And he realized. He realized all he was trying to achieve was nothing.
Yeah.
There was nothing to do, nothing to say, nothing to think, nothing to prove. See, we suffer because we think we have to prove. prove something to somebody or something or to ourselves. And when we can't reach that, we have a problem. Why can't I get that right? Can't get it right because it's already right.
Right. And see that's the thing,
oh,
you, and I think what you saying is so essential because hey, you gotta find that inner happiness,
right? And that's why the reason why my buddy called me the devil because I was talking like that, and when you talk like that, and a person's in a state of victimhood, that seems like the devil. What does devil mean? Adversary. I was in opposition to his emotion.
Right.
So technically I was being a devil. If you want to look at it. Because I was
right.
I was in adversarial mode. I was in disagreement with him. But coming from his state of consciousness, it was coming from a deeper place of contempt. See, I was looking at expression and emotion when he said it. Not the word. I was looking at his emotion that told me I had
right.
The spirit that I saw within him. I was like, no, this is a spirit that's looking for destruction, self-validation. I can't have that. I'm on a mission. There was no resentment I had towards him. It's just that was interfering with my mission. That's how it is.
Yes, it ain't nothing but the ego.
That's it. That's all we need. See, I laugh at some people think I'm laughing and I'm making fun of this situation. I'm laughing because I'm at a state of consciousness. It's just a fuck. What you fighting for, when you get there, you're going to realize it don't mean anything. And that's why I'm laughing. Because it's meaningless. And that's what you really achieve. This means nothing. This is what you're trying to get to the greater scheme of your consciousness. Because you're trying to be in a state of total okay with everything that you're going through or about to do. Where nothing really bothers you. It becomes like a shield. And you begin to operate in a space where everything works for you, not against you. Even the things that other people perceive as bad. Oh, man, we have to 11, man. I done started. Got into my preaching mode.
Wait.
I said, I done tapped into a whole other level of consciousness.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I like talking to you, huh?
Yeah, see, you're gonna have spirits around you that's gonna be trying to keep you right where you've been. They ain't gonna like that. And see, them negative spirits, where they don't like to see you grow.
Oh no,
that's all it is.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You gotta recognize it. And realize they can try it. They're not going to achieve it. You have to understand the power and the protection, where it's coming from, and walk in. Walk in your shield. The reason why those things might work against people is because they believe that it could work against them. And so they feed into it. See, but when you recognize it, you're like, oh, cut that off, move away from that, you know, you work around it. You know,
right.
Like you said, they'll come at you and all. They come at you through your friends, who you think is your friend. You know, and that's why I tell people to read that book, Buddha, because that's kind of what happened. He was trying to figure out the answers, and it was coming to by way of the priest, his wife, his friend, his family, these distractions, people that you think.
Oh.
One of his best interests. Yeah.
In the book.
Buddha. It's called Buddha. It's written by that guy. He interviewed Michael Jackson at his ranch years ago.
Okay.
That's the play. I know there's other books called Buddha, but that's the one he said.
Okay. It's not interesting.
Good book. Yeah. That's the book. All right, man. I know you got to go do your healing. Let everybody know how to contact you.
615 Two Notch Road, Columbia, South Carolina. And our number is 803-661-8945. But for holistic healing and spiritual readings. Yeah.
All right, bro.
Peace and love.
All right, till next week. Peace to the gods.